The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Well, we do want to thank you for tuning in and worshiping with us today online. A couple of things before we jump in to our message today. One, put a video out a couple of days ago, kind of capturing what's happening at our new facility at Summit Simpsonville. We're so excited about the upcoming move. I've said it repeatedly, I want to say it again. Your generosity above and beyond what you normally give here at Summit has allowed us not only to move into this new location, but update our current facilities that we have as well, Duncan Lyman Welford and Spartanburg and Cherrydale and Easley. And so thank you. We are making a push here to raise a little bit more money before we move in. And so if you'd like to give to facility expansion, we would greatly appreciate that. Not only is the move upcoming, which is exciting, school's getting ready to start for a lot of different folks. And it's a different year, the beginning here. And so at our services this Sunday and next Sunday as well at some of our locations, we're praying for all our teachers and administrators, faculty, staff, those that are involved in teaching, and just thankful that the Lord's allowing your story of grace to play out in this moment in the places that that you work. And we're gonna be praying for you as the new year begins. And speaking of kids and students, I also wanted to let you know that pretty soon, if you have served in the past in our children's ministry here around Summit, you're gonna be receiving an email with some updated procedures and protocols that we're putting into place as we very soon look to open back up our Summit Kids ministry. And imperative to being able to pull off a Summit Kids ministry is volunteers to serve in Summit Kids ministry. So those of you that have served before, we want to welcome you back into serving. Obviously, we know for a handful of you, there are some health issues that would keep you from serving, which we totally understand. But if you don't have any health issues, we would love for you to jump back in and serve. And maybe some of you that haven't served before, you go, well, that would be a great time. We haven't been able to do our kids ministry like we're used to over the last several months. And so we're looking forward to providing that opportunity again for our kids. But the way that we can most effectively do that is through the hundreds, and we literally have hundreds of volunteers across the Summit congregations that faithfully, regularly, monthly serve within our children's ministry. So thank you for considering doing that again as we launch that pretty soon. You'll get more information on that in the days and weeks to come. I am thankful for the opportunity to pick up in our series that we have called Foundational Words in a Shifting World. Talking with you today from my office here at Summit Walden. The idea of this series was really wanting to take a look at our current climate in the world, and as we process and talk with people and read and observe the actions and the reactions of many people in regards to many things. We talked as a pastoral staff team, and we wanted to take a few weeks to be reminded from Scripture of specific words that remind us of who God is and what we are given in Christ, what we are called to as followers of Jesus. And so far, we have talked about humility, and we have talked about joy. And today, I have the privilege of processing through this word with you, the word being unity. If you looked it up in Webster's dictionary, you would read unity is the quality or state of being made one. So oneness or unification. You'd also see the definition, a condition of harmony or accord. Now, it's not lost on me that I'm talking about unity, oneness, and harmony at a time where it would easily be said that the world we are living in day to day is quite divided. Now, some would say more divided than ever. Some would say not as divided as at other times they've experienced. It's just some of the younger folks weren't here to live it or experience it. Some people would say it's about as divided as it is every 4 years. I'm not here to weigh in on more divided or less divided. But I can say that we are waking up each morning, walking through our day, and then falling asleep each night at a time when fear and division, violence, suspicion, angst, anxiety, rudeness, judgmentalism are all very palpable. They are constant in our world. And as followers of Jesus who are waking up and walking through and falling asleep in the exact same chaos as every other person, the question is, are we living in the reality of what we have been given? What has been given to us? What we have been called to maintain in our midst, which is unity. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open them up today to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to spend a little time walking through verses 11 through 22 with you today in regards to talking about this word unity. This is what it says in Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We'll hit pause there for just a second. The Apostle Paul was writing to Christ followers, church at Ephesus, and I love this book of the Bible. Those of you that have been around Summit for a while know that I love Ephesians. One of the reasons I love it so much is because it is such a clear and compelling message of God's redemptive work through Jesus Christ. Many times, books of the Bible are addressing certain issues or problems that are taking place within a moment in time, applicable to us today for sure, or maybe within a church or a community or a city or a region, still applicable to us today. But Ephesians doesn't really address certain problems, although I'm sure they had issues, everyone does. Ephesians has these two big ideas that run throughout the book, that Christ has reconciled all of creation to himself and to God, and Christ has united people from all nations to himself and to one another through his church, Big C, Christ followers around the globe, the universal church. And Ephesians talks about how the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, has worked together to accomplish and make possible for you and I and others to have a relationship with the God of the universe by faith through grace alone. And how we are called to live lives that make much of his grace. God the Father says, through my Son, Jesus Christ, I have made relationship, reconciliation with me possible. And not only that, through Jesus Christ, unity between those who have a relationship with God is also given. Unity is given to us, not something that we have to figure out how to make amongst ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. Unity is given through Jesus Christ. And then the encouragement, the ask is, keep it. Maintain it. Protect it. Now, what I've already begun reading this morning in Ephesians 2 is Paul reminding the church at Ephesus what has been made possible through the obedience of Jesus, right? Who they were before Christ, who they are now in Christ. The fact that they were not part of the children of Israel meant that they were missing out on some things. Look back at verse 12. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were a stranger to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. How about that? As a matter of fact, I don't really want us to rush past this verse that's incredibly bleak. It's true, but it is overwhelmingly depressing. It's accurate, but it is sobering. Did you read the words? You were separated from Christ. There is no Messiah for you. You are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, which means there's no true community for you. There's no true belonging. A stranger to the covenants of promise. That means there is no promise through any documentation, any former documentation of a coming Messiah for you. No Messiah, no community, no promises. You had no hope. I mean, Paul's words are really strong. You are without God in this world. You're in the broken world. But you are in the broken world with nothing. You're on the outside looking in to a people, the nation of Israel, who, while also in a broken world, they had the hope of a coming Messiah. The Old Testament would tell them, the Old Testament writings would tell them, the Messiah is coming. So here's what I want us to do for just a moment. I asked Grayson if he would, to allow us just to stay in this moment, contemplating verse 12 of Ephesians 2, and ask him to sing a song over us today. I wanted us to sit in the what was for a moment, because I believe it helps us see with more clarity the beauty of the what is. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, stop for just a moment, not kind of off, not a little bit off, not mostly on, far off, not close, not a chance in and of yourself. What does Paul say? You've been brought near. And look how it happened. By the blood of Christ. Verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one. So Paul says, Jew and Gentile, those that were in and those that were out are now all in because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Verse 14 continues to say, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law, the commandments, expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. It might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Some commentators mention the visible symbol of this alienation between the Jews and Gentiles that Paul might have been referencing. You see, there was an actual wall that is surrounding the inner courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem. Actually, multiple courtyards. And the furthest one away from the inner court was the court of the Gentiles, separated by a stone with an inscription saying that no foreigner, no Gentile, was permitted to enter the Jewish courtyards, or the penalty would be death. A wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile. But Paul, going on and mentioning the law of the commandments, reminds us that it was the law which separated Israel from other nations. Because Israel was to follow the law, the other nations could care less. But through Christ, the law has been fulfilled. Matthew 5:17. And there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Romans 8:1. And peace has been made between God and us, and between us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 2:16. Verse 17 says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those of you who were near. This word peace keeps showing up in these verses. We read it here, ties back to verse 14, where Paul says, Jesus is our peace. And here Paul says, Jesus preached peace. And verse 18 says, for through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. Verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Paul is saying that those that were on the outside looking in, they are now fellow citizens, the Jewish believers. One new man, unified. This new man is likened to a temple that is structured on the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, a dwelling place for God through the Holy Spirit. How sweet is this? It's incredible. So think about it with me. Verse 12, that we pondered and then stopped and pondered a little more. So bleak, so depressing, hopeless, without God in this world. And then we read just a few verses later, because of Jesus, because of His sacrificial death, we are part of the body of Christ. We're citizens, family, individually and corporately, where God resides on a firm foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. This is what you've been given, adopted into, grafted into, now a part of, because of Jesus Christ. The dividing wall of hostility has been torn down. Peace and unity given to us because of the obedience and sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. So this is a big deal. I know I'm getting a little animated about it. I'm animated about it because unity is not one of those things that you can go, I don't know. You were without hope. You had no God. You were brought in. One new man. Unity's been given to you at an incredibly high price. So what do we do? Like, what's next? How does this play out? I think it's a great question. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, and look with me in verse 1. It says this: "Therefore, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Now, hit pause for a second. We just looked at the process of the calling. From no Messiah, no hope, no God, to what? Fellow citizen, part of the family of God. So Paul says, walk in such a way, do life in such a way, carry yourself in such a way, communicate with others in such a way that is worthy. That word means equal weight or balance. Worthy of that calling. Both the calling of being brought into relationship with God through Jesus, but also the calling of being a part of the family with your brothers and your sisters in Christ, your fellow citizens in the Lord. Because that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about your relationship with Him. Look at verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If I could ask the question this way, you know, what is the secret sauce of maintaining unity, right? Because again, unity between your brothers and sisters in Christ is not something you work hard to muster up. It's been given to you through Jesus Christ. We are called to maintain it, to guard it, to keep it. How? Well, these descriptive words that Paul used that I think are actually all very tied together, but they're very telling. The first word we see there is the word humility. Now, how interesting is this, right? It's the same word we were just discussing just a few weeks ago. Humility. The working definition that I used when I taught this passage from Philippians was a right understanding of who we are before God that results in selfless service. You may not know this, but in the Greek culture, humility was not a virtue. It was actually seen as a vice. And again, false humility is just as self-serving as pride. Tim Keller says, humility is not thinking more of myself or less of myself. True humility is thinking of myself less. Unity is maintained through humility. Being about others. Selflessly serving others. It's not the only word used in the describing of walking in a manner worthy of our calling. Another word that's used there is the word gentleness. Now, that word can mean meek. Meek is often misunderstood for weak, but this isn't about weakness. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." What's that about? It's that they trust God for the outcomes of their life. They don't have to attempt to grab life by the arm and twist it or control others to get what they want. Unity is maintained through gentleness, through humility, and through gentleness. I don't have to coerce things. I don't have to manipulate things. I don't have to try to get things just to go my way so that things are the way that I want them to be. Patience, another word used by Paul, which also means long-suffering, this idea of endurance, this idea of not giving up in the midst of facing pain and adversity. As you walk through life, difficult things come up and you don't have to give up. You can suffer well. How is unity maintained? Humility, gentleness, patience. He also talks about love. The phrase he uses is bearing with one another in love, which really would also imply patience. But the idea here would be patience in the midst of people doing you harm, right? So in life, there is pain and suffering because we live and do life in a broken, messed up, jacked up world. But bearing with one another in love, this idea of maintaining unity by bearing with one another is, as you do life with people, even your brothers and sisters in Christ, at times they will hurt you. They will not treat you well. They will treat you, as a matter of fact, unfairly. Bear with one another in love. Humility, gentleness, patience, love. All related, all necessary things to be growing in if we desire to maintain the unity. Unity that has been given to us through Christ. And I know it seems daunting at times, doesn't it? Especially right now. You got a pandemic. You got racial tension. You got the election. You got the economy. You got schools. You got hurricanes. Good grief. We had an earthquake last Sunday. And so you might be sitting there today thinking, I just don't know if I can. And I just... Listen, I know sometimes as a pastor, I'll say certain things that as I say them, I go, this sounds so overly simplistic. And I'm getting ready to make a statement that sounds so overly simplistic. My encouragement to you in the midst of all of this is to look to God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one, unified. Chapter 4, verse 4. Keep going with me. This is what it says. There is one body. One Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's so great to me. There are these practical words used by Paul to this point in chapter 4 to talk about walking in a manner worthy of being called into the family of God. And then starting again, this verse 4, he just breaks out again into some more theological truth that actually ties together the practicality of walking in step with the Spirit each day. He does this all the time, Paul does. I always love it. There is one body. There is unity because we are one body as followers of Jesus Christ. And there is one Spirit who indwells the church. Universal. And there is one hope in regards to our future with God, one Lord. He is the head of the church. Jesus Christ. There's one faith, which means there is one gospel that we believe and that we proclaim and that we say changes everything. There's one baptism, and Paul is not concerned here or making a point here, in my opinion, on the mode of baptism. He is making a point on the message of baptism, what it signifies, which is what? Identification with Jesus Christ, that I follow him. That's what unifies us. And that there is one God and Father of all. Seven unifying statements driving home the beautiful picture of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who I want to remind you. Through humility, patience, gentleness, and love have called us in. Called us into relationship and unified us. Right? Not only to him, but also to each other. And then empowered us to live out in the midst with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Humility, patience, gentleness, and love. Thus maintaining the unity given to us. That the world that we live in, which continues to splinter apart, may see that this Jesus we follow really does change life. As I conclude today, I think just a couple of questions. There's a chance that some of you may be sitting listening today going, I've never been brought into the family, so to speak. Yeah. Like when you look back at Ephesians chapter 2 that we were talking about a little earlier today, you go, I don't have any hope in this world because I'm without God. And maybe for the first time today, or maybe for the 150th different time today, you heard someone articulate what it means to be brought into the family of God. I mean, if that is you, well, we would love nothing more than to talk with you about that, process that with you. You can go online today at summitupstate.org. There's a virtual guest card there. You don't have to be a guest. If you are a guest, feel free to fill that out. But even if you're a regular around here, just you can indicate on that card that you would like to talk with someone, one of our pastoral staff team. I'd love to talk with you about what it means to be a part of the family of God. Like even as I talk today, you go, well, this idea of unity, not only a relationship with God, but also with brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm super intrigued and interested in that. We'd love to talk with you about that. Others of you that are a part of the family, I just want to encourage you to do the hard work of evaluating whether or not currently in your life, by the way that you are carrying yourself, articulating things, maybe internally judging other people, that actually what you're doing is building back, attempting, and it's futile, by the way, attempting to build back walls of hostility. Because I sense that right now, not necessarily amongst the people of Summit. I think culturally there is a lot of us and them. I'm on the right side, you're on the wrong side. I'm on God's side, you're not on God's side. And between brothers and sisters in Christ, because of the unity that has been given to us in and through Jesus Christ, that should never be the conversation, it should never be the attitude, it should never be the way we carry ourselves, it should never be what we articulate, it should never be what we post. What made it available for us to be unified to the God of the universe was the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. What made it possible for us to be unified with our brothers and sisters in Christ was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't cheap. Let's not treat it cheap. Let's not flippantly say and do and post things that throw people into categories that would divide. Let's walk in a manner worthy of being called into His family. Let's walk in humility. Let's walk in gentleness. Let's walk in patience. Let's walk in bearing with one another in love. And in doing so, we will maintain the unity that cost Him everything and gave us everything. Pray with me if you would. Father God, for the opportunity to gather this morning in an avenue that is a little different than what we're used to when we step into an auditorium on Sunday mornings. I thank you. I thank you for this venue, this avenue of online worship, for those that have tuned in today. And I thank you for this incredibly timely reminder from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, which applies to us. Would you be so kind and gracious to allow us to walk worthy of our calling? We contemplate regularly what it cost, what the calling cost you, what we have been given. And may that motivate us to be humble, gentle, patient, loving. And may the unity that you have given to us, that we are maintaining, be seen by a watching world. A world that has not experienced what has been made available to us and to them, that they may come to experience it, know it, cherish it, trust it, follow it, be a part of it. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.